Welcome to the Kanakuk Podcast. We hope you'll be encouraged to have an I'm Third approach as you navigate family, leadership, and spiritual growth. If you're new to our conversation, welcome. It's so great to have you. Let's jump in.
And welcome to the Kanakuk Podcast today. I'm here with my oldest daughter, Jamie Jo, and what a thrill it will be to do this podcast together with Jamie as my co-host usually. Beth Ann Lampley is away traveling, but Jamie, you have brought a wonderful podcast together today with somebody you know well, and I can't wait for everyone to meet Missy Richie Nicholas. Missy was on the K-1 staff from 1987 to 1995. But today, sweet Missy is a counselor, an author, a motivational speaker with a passion to help people find hope when there doesn't seem to be any hope in the bank. Missy, hi. Great to have you with us today.
Hello, Joe and Jamie Joe. It is a pleasure to be here. I'm so grateful to be a part of the Kanakuk podcast, just as I was thankful to be a part of Kanakuk all those years ago. Thank you for having me.
So good. Missy, before we get to your books and all the great work you're doing, tell our listeners about your time at Kanakuk.
Well, I am actually one of 10 children. I'm the ninth of 10 children. So I didn't have the benefit of Kanakuk as a kid, other than how we lived was very similar to Kanakuk. But man, once I found camp, I could not get enough. I just kept coming back. I think for 8 summers, if I remember correctly, but to be a part of a group of people and peers that were living out their faith and seeking growth in such a fun and environment was just infectious to me. I fell in love with Jesus over and over and over again at camp through the relationships of other people and watching other people serve and lead. I had the pleasure of working under women in leadership who challenged me to grow in my faith and gave me opportunities to grow in leadership. Kay Holiday, Diane Cooper, Casey Coons are all instrumental in my faith life and in me becoming who I am today as a woman.
Oh, Missy, those are heroes of the past. I love hearing you say those names. What did you learn from those dear women that you looked up to in those days?
Oh, gosh, where do you start? Again, just patience and passion, I think, just to watch them lead camp with the passion that they all had, but also to provide the patience and directions for those of us who were, you know, college kids who were supposed to also be leading, but who sometimes didn't know what we were doing. They just very, with so much grace, sort of took our proverbial hands and put our hands in the hand of the Father and then in the hands of these little girls who we were leading. And I can't say enough about those women.
I love hearing you talk about it.
For sure. Being a K-1 camper myself for 9 years as a camper, Diane Cooper and Kay Holiday are some of my biggest role models. Did anything that you learned at camp, because you came to camp as a teenage adult, but did anything at Kanakuk help set you on your trajectory where you are today in any way?
Oh, gosh, I think several things. I think camp played a significant part in the path that I ended up taking in life. When I realized that faith is applicable to all things and is something that we can take onto every playing field of our lives, which I saw played out hundreds of times at camp through amazing people, that really gave me permission to think about my life differently. It gave me permission to not compartmentalize my faith and to take Jesus into places that I hadn't thought about taking him before. I took Jesus into my sorority, into friendships, into encounters with hurting people as I began to grow my practice and seek out what I wanted to do for my life. And I think because Kanakuk does such a good job of making faith fun, it made me realize that faith is really ultimately rooted in hope. And hope is what most people are looking for at any given time, but especially when people are hurting. When you're hurting and you can find a glimmer of hope, That's a game changer for a lot of people. And so handing out hope became the passion of my life as a therapist and as an author and a public speaker. And I think that spark started when I was entrusted with a cabin of little ones at K-1. And I recognized that you can do this with the fuel and the passion of faith, which is just hope.
I love that. And it's a great lead into your first book called Letters to Love, because your first book walks through loneliness and happiness and darkness and questions, and it does lead with hope. It's just a collection of your letters documenting your 20-year search for love. And I loved it because it's an amazing love story for human relationships, but between us and God and how he can lead our hearts. Tell me a little bit about Letters to Love.
Well, you're absolutely right. The whole book, first of all, the book started as journal entries. It was never my intention to publish private, lonely, angsty sort of pages of my heart wanting something different than it had. But it really was the process of, as I watched everyone around me find what I thought was the ultimate goal in young adulthood, which is love in another person, what I learned while writing that and watching my friends and becoming a late in life finding it person. I got married at 38 years old. What I really learned is that love isn't something we're supposed to hunt for or find in another person. Love is something that we're supposed to be cultivating in our day and in our relationships. And it's something we're supposed to become ourselves, not look for in another person. So, married or not, I think we experience love to the degree that we allow ourselves to. And that was for me the big lesson in that book.
That is such a great lesson for all of us to learn at age 76 or at age 29, wherever you are, Missy, in your age journey. But Missy, while many of your letters are written in the waiting and in the lonely times of your life, in one of the letters you write, and I quote, "I dreamed about having a man who really loved me. He makes me feel as though I didn't dream big enough." How did this letter make you feel seen and known by God?
Well, the bottom line for that letter, I think, is the reality or the realization that when we seek love in human form, we are always going to come to the truth that we didn't dream big enough, because God loves us more intimately, more completely, more faithfully than any human being ever could. God knows what I need more than I do. And so we don't dream big enough when our dreams are about another human. So that letter was an encouragement to myself and hopefully to readers that it gives us permission to have God-sized dreams and God-sized love in our life, which comes from more than just another human being.
So true. So true. My favorite part about Letters to Love, I think, was the way you signed off every letter. It wasn't "Love, Missy." It was something about your heart and everyone. Oh, even though I felt it in the letter, oh, every sign off, I was like, there she is. It was really special. That was a great book, Letters to Love. Your next book, Therapy Tip for the Day, is so fun because it's 365 tips to help people better understand the hearts and behaviors of others, which is so good because often we just react. We don't think, oh, wait, what was behind that from the other person so I can respond appropriately?
Yeah, so that book actually was written as a result of my work as a therapist and kind of what I had learned was most meaningful or impactful to clients over the years. It's intended to challenge people to make therapeutic changes in their thinking or in their behaviors so that they achieve a more desirable outcome in what they want in their lives. And it kind of reads a little bit like a flip calendar because most of the tips are pretty brief. But my hope was that they would be thought-provoking and challenging. They're certainly not intended to replace the therapeutic process of therapy if that's what somebody is in need of at any given time. But my hope was that it would be a good partner, I guess, for the therapeutic process for those people who want to challenge themselves to have better thinking or better relationships, better outcomes out in the world when they interact with people or when they involve themselves with other people's lives.
And yeah. So, Missy, you had a therapy tip that said, agreeing with somebody's point of view is not a prerequisite for caring about how they feel. Describe that a little bit, and I just think that's a really valuable lesson in today's climate.
Oh, gosh, that tip might be one of my favorites, because I have seen it be so wounding in relationships when people believe that if we don't agree, then I can't move forward with kindness or connection or love. That can be so damaging. And yet on the flip side of that, I have seen it be so healing when it is understood that I don't have to agree with you in order to care about you. And you're right. Today's climate really has done a number on this particular lesson. Simply giving permission to myself to care about a person, whether I agree with them or not, is such a gift that we can give ourselves and each other. And I mean, frankly, I think it's scriptural. They will know us by our love, not by whether we agree with each other. So, and you know, God went to immense trouble and creativity to create us all very uniquely. And I have to think that we're supposed to have different thoughts and different feelings and different ideas and different opinions about the world that we're all experiencing. And so who am I to tell you that your experience is wrong? And because I disagree with you, therefore I can't love you. That actually seems dishonoring to the God who created beautiful, unique, fabulous you, who happens to disagree with beautiful, unique, fabulous me. And that's actually that dynamic is sort of bad, and why my third book became a poetry book, because of how differently we all view and experience life.
Missy, I love that thought, and I wish we could all just carry that through in all of our relationships, parenting, befriending, husband-wife relationships. I remember the time Missy, Debbie Jo, and I were squaring off about something, and man, it wasn't going well. And I just looked at my dear, amazing wife, and I said, Debbie Jo, I said, I need to go take a walk. But I'm going to be back in an hour. And I just want you to know, while I'm out there walking, I'm going to be thinking about how much I love you and why I love you so much. And we weren't agreeing. And you know what? I don't think we were going to agree. But as you said, when I took that creative walk and I just thought about all the reasons why I love that dear woman I married so many years ago, when I got back, the agreement was gone. It had vanished just because care had consumed whatever disagreement we had.
Yeah, I think that's a beautiful process that we all need to challenge ourselves with, no matter how superficial or deep the relationships are in our lives, that agreeing with somebody is simply just not a prerequisite to care about them and show kindness and love. And so I love it that you picked out that particular therapy tip. That I think it's a good one.
It's a good one. It's a good one. And I love, as it does move into your third book, which isn't necessarily related, but Love and Pain, your beautiful book of poetry and prose with artwork, but your kind of goal with that seems to be that it's an expression of to God for all that he allows us to feel. And like you said before, we're all different, so we get to feel different things. But Love and Pain is, thank you, God, that I get to feel high and low and love and pain. And that book kind of gives us as readers permission to find God in the midst of all the feelings.
Yes, yes. I appreciate you saying that, because that was my intention. I think sometimes we get a false message, sometimes from the pulpit, depending on our history with church, that, you know, there some feelings are right or wrong or good or bad or inappropriate or appropriate, or, you know, some feelings are, and feelings are just feelings. Feelings are just messages from my psyche that my body is experiencing something. And, you know, Jesus spoke very honestly in scripture about his feelings. We see him in scripture be angry in the Garden of Gethsemane. He says the words, I am sorrowful to the point of death. And this tells me that pain is part of the package of being an apprentice of Jesus. If he experienced it, I'm going to experience it. So my hope in the poetry book was to give people permission to experience their relationship with God inside the feelings, not in absence of the feelings.
Missy, I love the title of the book, Love and Pain, Perspectives on Love and Pain. Why'd you choose that title? It's just marvelous to think about.
Well, I think the primary, the perspectives, is because your perspective on love and pain is different than mine, and the reader's is going to be, I mean, for as many people as experience an emotion, love or pain or jealousy or whatever it is, that's how many perspectives of that feeling exists, because we all are unique beings that experience it differently.
Yeah, that's so true. I think how can I narrow down the lines that spoke the most to me? But one that really did, because my core fear is to not be known. You write, "And I am thankful for the ones that have seen the depths of me and stayed." Oh, that just, I mean,
that's so dear.
Just saying that. Oh, because that is what we're all longing for. And that is so true for me. Where did that come from for you?
Well, the lines just before that one in the book, in that poem, were some where I felt abandoned and betrayed and not seen. And so to be able to say, I'm thankful for the ones that have seen the depths of me and stayed, that is really to have experienced God in those deep places through another person. That means in the ugly, dirty, sinful, dark places of my heart, somebody chose to stay. And I think, you know, I think God's primary love language to us is presence. He reminds us frequently in Scripture that he will never leave us or forsake us, that he's going to stay. And so to be able to provide that or give that to another human being is really to emulate God's character, because when we stay in those dark places, that's who he is to us. When he promises, I'm not going anywhere, and you have another physical human being through love and friendship and commitment also do that, man, then it makes it there's almost a visceral response when you say, I'm thankful for the ones that have seen the depths of me and stayed. I mean, that's like a Thanksgiving prayer.
It is. And just the intimacy as we think of ourselves as friends or lovers or parents or whatever, to see that ugly and the beautiful, but the ugly and stay, you know?
Yeah.
It's so good.
Missy, you are a contagious human being. I long for the folks who are listening to this podcast to get a chance to see your face like we did through your writings. Missy Richie Nicholas, Letters to Love, Therapy Tip of the Day, and Perspectives on Love and Pain. Where can we obtain your books? Amazon, perhaps?
You can get them all on Amazon. I also have a website, riseanyway.com, which is my ministry website where I do women's ministry and women's retreats. And so when I do have speaking events, those are all on there. So www.riseanyway.com.
Rise Anyway. I love that. Where'd you get that title for your website?
Well, through a late night with my ministry partner, and we went through all kinds of ridiculous ideas until we landed on, well, that one's available and we like it.
Yeah, well, I like it too. You talked about hope. Before we say goodbye today, I love the word hope. We all cling to hope. Help some of us who are out here today and it's kind of cloudy and kind of overcast in our heart and our mind, and we feel like rain's falling all around us and we hadn't seen sunshine in weeks. For those of us who feel like we're running around in the darkness, give us a word. Help us with hope, Missy.
Oh, gosh. I think I would want to remind our listeners that hope is a beautiful thing, but hope always needs a plan. What we often forget is that the primary vehicle that hope arrives in is change. And so if you want to feel more hope in your life, change something, change some thinking, change some behaviors, change some patterns, change some of the company you're keeping so that you can get a different result. I mean, if you're wanting to experience something different in your relationships, then make a plan of what you're willing to change. If you want to experience this Easter season, for instance, as more of a resurrection in your own faith, then make a plan for what you're willing to do differently. What are you willing to change so that you can experience something differently? We have hope is a beautiful thing, but it is a verb when it comes to applying it in our life. We have to be willing to change some things to ignite hope.
What a great word. Jamie, what a great 25 minutes. Man, it has zoomed by so fast. Missy, we're going to want a whole lot more of you. Thank you so much for giving us your heart today.
Thank you all. I appreciate it more than you know. God bless you and what you're doing.
God bless you too, Missy. I hope there's a lot of people reading those wonderful books.
Let's. Do you want to close us out in prayer?
Oh, I would love to. Father, we come before you and we thank you for the Kanakuk ministry, the camps, the podcasts, all the ways that this ministry through the years has taught people about your son, your word, what it looks like to live life with you and through you. And I just pray a blessing and a hedge of protection around every staff member, everybody that's ever been affected by camp. And I just pray that you would continue to instill love and hope in all of the corners of these places where you get to be seen. We love you and we praise you for all that you are and all that you do. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Missy. Thank you, Jamie. And if you're listening today and this podcast has touched your heart the way it's touched mine, I urge you to find a friend and pass this podcast along. God bless you all.
Subscribe to our podcast today to stay up to date with the latest episodes. If this podcast has helped you in any way, please consider rating us, writing a review, or sharing it with others so we can continue to build you up with an I'm Third approach to family, leadership, and spiritual growth. For more information about the podcast, visit KanakukPodcast.com. And for more information about Kanakuk, you can visit Kanakuk.com. Oh,